Johnny, come in the house. Johnny, come in the house.
Johnny, come in the house.
Johnny, if you don't come in the house, that's it. And so mother closes the door, and Johnny's 12 years old, and it's a little late for him to be learning this sort of lesson. And mother closes the door and locks it, and then she goes out the back door and locks it, gets in the car and drives away. And then she goes to the movie and goes to have dinner out, and she comes home about 9 o'clock. And Johnny is sitting there on the front porch, and he's locked out. He's not able to get in the house. Now, Mommy is thought to be a terribly mean person. Well, Mommy is just stupid. She's not mean. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with the thought for today, which says, how do you train a mommy? Okay. How do you train a mommy? You train a mommy by knowing how you would like to be treated yourself. Now, when you are raising your children, if you are too busy to talk to them, if you are too busy to sit down with them, if you're too busy to give them a moment, they will think that you don't love them and that they're not important. And so if you make demands on the children and you don't follow through on the demands, because that is a demand on you, then you're not being a good parent. If you say to the children, supper time, come in, wash up. It's now 10 minutes to 6, you be in here, get washed up and be at the table at 6 o'clock or else I'm going to close the door. And the kid says, oh, Mommy would never do that. You know, we're 6 and 7 years old. She wouldn't lock us out of the house, you know. And so at 6 o'clock, Mommy goes to the door and locks it. And the kids come up to the door and pound the door. Hey, I want to come in, I want to come in. I'm hungry. And Mommy doesn't say a thing. She sits down at the table with her family that is there, and she eats with them, and afterwards, they do the dishes, and then they go in the living room, turn on the TV, and let the children come in. And then the children are sitting outside. It's not dark yet. It's early, late summer evening. And so they say, Mommy, how could you lock us out? I didn't lock you out. I told you that if you're not in here in 10 minutes, I'm going to close the door and we're going to eat. You locked us out. You locked the door. No, I just locked the door. I told you could be inside in time. But Mommy, hey, I don't argue with you. You know what you want to do. You want to sit on the steps and fume and get angry because you didn't follow my directions. But Mommy, no, look, I love you very much. And if you don't learn now to follow my directions, because I'm responsible for you, I'm responsible to make sure that you have good habits and that you do the right things and that you are good children. And if you don't follow my directions, then I'll just have to, you know, handle it however best I can. But Mommy, and Mommy doesn't say another word. She goes in and she watches the TV, and they come in and sit with her. We're hungry. That's nice. You won't die. You won't die, you know. And so Mommy goes up to bed, and the children are still sitting in the living room watching television, and they say to Dad, Dad, I'm hungry. And Dad says, you are, huh? Oh, how come you weren't in time for supper? Well, I didn't think she made it. Well, now you know she does, don't you? Yes, Dad, I do. And I'm sorry. Well, now, you go upstairs and you tell your mom you're sorry. So the kids go upstairs and they say, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I won't do that again. I'm sorry. I know you have to do what you have to do, and I'll follow your directions. I'm sorry. All right. Can I have dinner now? Nope. Nope. And so the kids go down by Daddy and say, we told her we're sorry, but she wouldn't give us dinner. Well, what did you expect? All you did was said you're going to agree with the program and go along with it. That doesn't go for yesterday or half an hour ago. And, well, I'm hungry. Now, look, kids. just between you and me, if you can shut up, I'll give you something to eat. But I won't do this again. It's just tonight, because this is your first time. And when your mother asks for something, you take care of it and you do it. How important it is that both parents stand together. Now that Dad relented a little bit and gave in was his little extra gift to them, but nonetheless, he still ensured that they follow Mother's rules. And they did. Now, if they don't have this lesson, if they don't have this learning situation, if they don't have this on little things, big things will come along, and then they'll be really suffering, and then you as a parent will show just how well you have trained your children. Now, parents, they say, it's not my fault my children went to hell. It's not my fault my children did this. It's not my fault my children are troublemakers or doing bad things. Well, actually, it's 100% your fault. It's 100% our fault for how our children are raised. Do you have time to raise your children in the values that your parents gave you? Well, my parents didn't have any values. Well, that's a problem. That's a problem, isn't it? Okay. Do you have time to raise your children in the values that you'd like them to have? Well, I got to work every day and I got to do this. Well, then zipper up your pants and don't have any more children. Stop it. If you can't raise children, if you can't take care of, well, they're supposed to learn that in school, they're supposed to learn that in the church, and they're supposed to learn that. No, they aren't. The church and school do nothing for your children. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The church and school merely take the ideal children brought from the ideal homes and help these ideal children to reveal the ideal that's already within them, the genius that they are. But when the church and school have to work with recalcitrant children, with children that don't behave, that have never learned to have rules and regulations that guiding their lives, never learned to have principle and have values to guide their life, the church and the school give up on them. The first thing the church does is gets them out of there. They don't even want them in the church. They don't want them to mess up the rest of the kids. That's true. Bad kids, they don't want to have them in church. And they don't have them in church. They won't have them. And bad kids, they don't have them in school. They send them to reform school. They send them to special classes. They get them out of the regular classes because the kids don't... It's not that they're stupid. It's that the kids never learn to appreciate who they are and how important it is to be intelligent, to learn and grow. But this is apparent. Now, if you are an adult and you're having children, don't just love them to pieces. That's lovely too. But train them in the values that are going to make them the most happy, contented, fulfilled people on the face of the earth. And if you don't train them in these values, nobody else will, really. Nobody else will. The TV doesn't do it. The magazines, newspapers don't do it. Everybody tells you, everything is terrible, everything is terrible. Here we have elected Obama as President of the United States. And we have called him good and very good. And now we look at the things that he's doing, which are good and very good. And because they're just a little scary, because it's what he said he was going to do in the beginning. He's just like Hitler. Hitler wrote Mein Kampf, and in Mein Kampf he explained everything he was going to do for Germany. And the German people elected him to be office, to the office of total control in Germany. Now, we've elected Obama to be totally in charge because we said, we like your platform. We like where you're going. So, now, is he a bad man? No. Is he intelligent? Yes. Is he got all of the values and standards for it? Is he doing this to hurt anybody? No. All right, then let's get behind him 100% and say Obama is the finest president that we've ever known. Obama is doing everything for the people. He's doing everything on behalf of the people. And now business is saying, well, he's doing things that are going to hurt us and going to... Well, yes, that's true. He has put business back on the second burner and put the people on the first burner. And how wonderful that is. Would that every president would do the same thing. Now, if we stand behind Obama, if we stand behind him, and if we bless him and we say, all is in divine order, all is in divine order, all is in divine order, he will be guided at all moments to do all things that are a blessing. Now, I think we should do that for our president. How much more should we do it for ourselves and for our children and our family? How much more should you say to your husband or wife or your children, all is in divine order. You are doing everything beautifully and good and wonderful. I'm proud of you. How much more should we be saying that to our family and to those we love? Support those that we put into office. Did you put your husband or your wife into office as being husband and wife?
Mm-hmm.
Did you bring forth your children to be your children? Not somebody else's. Henry wrote us about his grandchild, J.C. And his grandchild has a nose that looks like his, a face that looks like his, you know. And what's he saying? Now, is he saying that J.C., this little baby, just born, is a fabulous person? Is he going to give J.C. his values? Is he going to give J.C. all of the things that he feels are important? Is he going to let J.C. wrap him around his little finger? J.C. will probably be quite talented at that. But if he raises J.C. like we should raise Obama and our families, how wonderful that would be. How wonderful that would be. Bless you, J.C. You'll be the next president of the United States, that's for sure. That is when you're old enough. When you're old enough.
Wow.
Although, who knows, you know, child president, wouldn't that be interesting?
Mm.
My goodness sakes. Well, they have child emperors, they have child kings, they have child people. But anyhow, whatever is right for us. We always put all is in divine order, and we know that it's so. Now, because you did a lousy job on raising your husband or your wife or your kids, because you're doing a lousy job on raising your parents, even now, because you're doing a lousy job on raising your world, that's yesterday. Today, we put a new cause in motion to raise our world according to our values. And our values are all is in divine order. All is in divine order. Now, if all is in divine order, can it be any better order? We don't have to worry what the divine order is. We don't have to worry how it's going to be carried out or who's going to do their part and do their job and who's going to train. But if you have this so into your mind, when you talk to your children, you're going to expect them to be in divine order. When you talk to your husband or wife, you're going to expect them to be in divine order. When you talk to your president or your world, you're going to expect it to be in divine order. And what greater gift could you give to yourself than to have divine order in all of your world? Delight with me in this wonderful experience, because it is true. It works for me, and it works for you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.